Hi, Goodwach. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are now up to the intriguing, but sometimes upsetting, Parsha of Parshat Shelach. There's so much to talk about, and you guessed it, we're going to talk about the Meraglim. We're going to talk about the spies, even though there are other things to talk about. We have the Parsha of Nesachim, the libations. We have Challah, we have Tzitzit, and a couple other things. One of the fundamental pieces or symbols in the story of the spies is the grapes. At the end of the first Aliyah, the Torah writes, V'hayamim yimei b'chorei anavim, and the days were prime days for grapes. And when the spies go to the land, the first thing they take note of to grab is, in fact, a cluster of grapes. As the Torah says, V'yichretu misham zmora v'eshko anavim echad. And they cut from there a branch and one cluster of grapes. Now, the Torah writes specifically that two people had to carry it on each side, and Rashi explains that overall it took eight people to carry back the cluster, and along with the individuals carrying a pomegranate and a fig, there were therefore 10 people, which were the 10 spies, carrying back these fruit. And of these spies, only Yehoshua and Kalev refrained from carrying this fruit, even though these were amazing, gigantic fruit of bracha. They knew what the intent of the other people were in using these, which should have been symbolic of amazing abundance, was going to be used for something detrimental. They understood, Yeshua and Kalev understood what the intent of the others was, and they did not want to be a part of it. Now, this concept of Eshkol Anavim, cluster of grapes, also appears, interestingly enough, when Yosef is in Mitzrayim. He is told of the wine bearer's dream when he is holding a cluster of grapes before things occur, and Yosef ultimately pretends that this portends that this means that the wine bearer will be reinstated, and this eventually paves the way for Yosef to become noticed and ultimately appointed as viceroy over Egypt. This set the stage for the bringing of the Jews ultimately down to Mitzrayim and creating the scenario for the ultimate redemption of leaving Mitzrayim, which would culminate in the Jews settling in Eretz Yisrael. It all was put into motion then. Now, the cluster of grapes was a symbol both of the divine salvation from Mitzrayim and as well as the promise to inherit the land of Israel. Additionally, and it goes back even further, because the entire situation with Yosef was only set up and he only ended up in Mitzrayim due to the avera of Diba, right, which means like negative speech, right, which had to do with negative speech that Yosef had amongst his brothers, and again, it's a whole long thing I'm not getting into right now. But ultimately, on some level at least, Yosef spoke ill of his brothers, even if he meant well, and the 10 brothers, because there were 10, because Binyamin was not included, which mirrors the 10 spies, went against Yosef and sold him down to Mitzrayim. Now, the spies should have seen these enormous grapes not only as the land's fruitfulness, this amazing blessing of abundance, but also as a siman, a sign. Remember what happened with Yosef, and remember Hashem's salvation that brought you to the land in the first place. But the spies did not, they had their own agenda, whatever, again, that's another topic to talk about. But the spies did not take heed of this message. And instead, they used the symbol of the grapes for a very negative purpose, potentially destroying everything they symbolized. And for more about that, also see my written Dvar this week. But just as there were two brothers who were not at fault for the sale of Yosef, which were Binyamin and, of course, Yosef himself, so too there were two spies who were not involved in speaking bad of the land and convincing the people not to go in, i.e. those two people were Kalev and Yehoshua. Now Rashi speaks of the fact that Moshe knew Kalev was strong and could resist temptation, but he was worried about Hosea, that he was an amazing, amazing righteous individual, but because he was a little bit more, I guess, timid in a certain way, perhaps, that like maybe he could be perhaps a little more influenced. Therefore, to protect him, he changed his name to Yehoshua, meaning that he will be saved. I mean, Hashem will protect him, adding Hashem the Yud, symbolizing the spirituality of Hashem's name for protection. But if you look at the matter of grapes, it's almost the opposite. Let's take a look at it in a very interesting way. Much as Binyamin was not really a player in the sale of Yosef, Yehoshua would not likely be a player, so to speak, in the game of the spies. He was Moshe's greatest disciple. Was by Moshe day and night, was studying by him constantly, was by his side, wherever he was. Like, he was his sidekick, for lack of a better way of explaining it. Right? He was the future leader of the Jewish people, destined to lead the conqueror of the land itself. So, actually, if anybody would not be influenced to go against the land of Israel, it was actually Yehoshua, right? Because Yehoshua was the one who was going to be the one to go into the land. He understood this. So, to actually take the fruit from this amazing land of Canaan, the land of Israel, and spurn it the way that the spies are about to do was inconceivable. So it's a different way of interpreting it. Not necessarily Moshe gave Hosea Hashem's Yud, or so to speak, the name Hashem, the Yud representing Hashem for protection. Not necessarily to protect him against being convinced by the spies, but to two things. One, potentially to protect him physically, but also to give him strength that he could try and dissuade or denounce the other spies. And for Kaleb, even though he was physically strong, his emunah was not on the same level as Yehoshua, and therefore for him it actually was a test that he had to live up to, which of course he succeeded tremendously. Kaleb was strong, but he did have a choice. He had to decide whether or not he was going to be on the side of Moshe and Yehoshua or join the majority. You know, it's a lot of peer pressure. There's a lot of rove. He sees that where things are going, you know, and he chose to not only fight for the land of Israel, for the land of Canaan that Hashem had promised them, but to fight actively against the spies, shouting and denouncing them. And that rose into an even greater madriga. And that is perhaps why Hashem states, Perek Yudalad, Pasuk Chaf Dalad, V'avdi Kalev, Ekev Haita Ruach HaCharedimo, and my servant Kalev, because he had a different spirit with him. Different than he otherwise would have. Either it could be different from the other spies, or different than was his nature, right? He was strong, but he went even to fight against his brethren, so to speak, that were arguing about the land. Now, the word because here is used is the very interesting word of Akev, right? Which, you know, we're going to see, you know, later on in Parshat Tvar and Parshat Akev, but it comes up in a few other places as well. Ayin Kuf Bet, which is numerically the same as Anavim, right? Ayin Nun Bet Yud Mem. Kalev understood what these grapes symbolized. He got it too. He understood that it was a symbol that they should go into the land. This giant cluster of grapes was a symbol of the fulfillment of the promise that started so many years before. Rather than taking them out of the land and to exclude them in a scary and daunting fashion as the other spies did to present in front of the other people, Kalev saw it differently. He understood what these grapes meant. He, so to speak, turned these grapes into wine, which again is another discussion. But therefore, Hashem promises Kalev, V'havieto el ha'aretz asher bas shama b'zerei yereshena. And I will bring him to the land to which he came, and his progeny will inherit it. Kalev chose to fight against the many for what he knew was correct and proper in the eyes of Hashem, and it's a reminder for us to do the same. Now, in Halacha, we often go by the Rov. And when we have Rov, Talmidei Chachamim, we certainly go by them. But Rov is not always best, right? If the majority of people in society, even if they're Jews, are doing something that you know is wrong, then that's a different story, right? Now, if you assume that the greatest Talmidei Chachamim, fine, maybe. But in this case, these spies, these were not like Nebuchadnezzar people. Like, these were great people. And it's very, very difficult to go against the majority when they're also very important people. But when you have such amazing clarity and you're with people like Moshe and Yeshua, and you can understand the closeness of Hashem and what things really mean, then you have the robe, because you have the robe of the understanding. You have the majority of the understanding that they might not. They may be the majority in number, but they're not getting the majority of the picture. And that's something that Kali understood, and also, of course, Yehoshua understood, and certainly Yehoshua understood it being so close to Moshe. And this is part of the lesson, right, that you can see something. And this is connected to the letter Ayin, which, of course, Anavim begins with, and there's many, many other concepts in this sugya about the connected to the letter Ayin perspective. You can have perspective. The same cluster of grapes can be something which is scary, ginormous, big armies, got to stay away from it. Or it could be a symbol of fruitfulness, of blessing, and of sweetness, and ultimately of an aged fine wine. It can be something that is huge in the long run, right? That you can understand things on such an immense nature that other people, even if it's the majority people, might not get. So this was some of the insight into the sixth parsha, and wishing you all an amazing Shabbat Shalom.